Holy Spirit, we just invite you in right now that you will minister to each of us the way that we need to be ministered to today. Challenge, convict, encourage, strengthen. We just want to give you all authority in this place. I pray that you will speak your words of truth and healing over each of us and that we'll receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. What we were talking about, what Marty was talking about, the healing, we actually had a model for that, and it was an acronym ALICE. So on your sheets, on your seats, how good is that? There's a few spaces for you to write down the words. So this is not something that only, you know, special teams can do or ordained people or, you know, anything like this. It's for everyone. So the first letter in the word ALICE is A, starts with an A, so we're doing the word ASK. So ASK. First of all, what do you want to see God do? And be specific about that. What do we want to see God do? You can say, I've got a pain in my leg, I've got a headache, I've got paid for goiters. We prayed for all kinds of things. What do you want? So ask. The second letter is L, so that's listen. So write that one in, listen. So we're listening to what the person's saying, but we're also listening to the Holy Spirit, who might be identifying for us something that's going on emotionally or in another way that you might get a bit of insight into, and you can pray into that area as well. So that's listen. So we're listening to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying. The next letter is I. So the word is invite. Invite Holy Spirit into the space. He's the best one to be there. So let's invite him in. Then the next letter is C. So the C word is command. So I say in the name, or what we were taught to say is in the name of Jesus. So it's not in my name, it's not in the name of the Salvation Army, not in the name of anything else, but in the name of Jesus. I command this part to be healed or that pain to leave. So it's the command. And then the last letter is E, so that's evaluate. So it's always good to check what's going on. So we would say to people, do you feel any different? Is the pain gone? And they'd say, sometimes it's a bit less. And we'd pray again. So they say to pray for three times. And then after that, we would just pray a blessing over them and say, we believe God wants to continue healing you. And we'd leave. So we weren't there praying and praying and praying, you know, God, please. It was three times. And then we'd move on to someone else to pray for. And it's quite an amazing thing to do. And that's not just for a nation that doesn't have medical care or other resources. This is the structure that we can use today to ask for healing for anything. So that's where I think our faith needs to be pressed out a little bit, because the reason we don't get is because we do not ask. And this week I had a cold, and on Tuesday I went to supervision and I was telling him about the healing, and he said, well, did you pray for healing for your cold? I said, actually, no, I haven't. How strange is that? That I hadn't even asked for healing for my cold. I said, oh, I'll just get better. It's just a cold. I caught on the plane. The people in front of me had it, you know. So we don't ask. So, of course, we don't get because we don't ask. So that's the ALICE model. It's really good. Just hold on to that, because that will do you well if you want to hold on to that. I've got some pictures. There's a few people. I'm a real skeptic. I'm a big faith person, but at the same time, a real skeptic. I do both sides of the coin really, really well. So if someone says they're healed, I want to know that they're healed. Like, I want the proof. Like, I want to see the proof. And so we prayed for many, many people. A lot of people said, yeah, I feel better. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to believe that. So I'm not recording all those people, but I will tell you definitely the people that I know were healed. While we were praying for them. So this wasn't about me. We had 10-year-old kids in our team sometimes, and they were praying, and I just stepped back and watched, because it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through people. So you don't have to be anything special to pray. You just need to go to the one that does the healing, right? Okay, so it's not about us. It's about what God wants to do through us. So can we throw a picture up, please? I don't know who it is. So this lady, I've got her name, Imelda. She was. We went in by boat to this village, and she was sitting on a seat right behind where the photo was taken, and she was sitting waiting because she'd heard that we were coming. And she'd only gotten that far because her legs were numb and her hips were all stiff, and she could only walk by holding onto things to get around. And so she was sitting there, and we were honestly on our way back to leave because our time's almost up, we need to go. And then Emmy, our translator, saw her and she said, well, what about this lady? But all right, let's go pray for her. And so we went over and she said, can I pay you to pray for me? I said, no, we'll pray for free. And we prayed for her a few times, and she had gone from not being able to stand up and walk to walking from where I'd taken the photo, where her seat was, across to there back and forwards a few times. Like, that's healing, right? For a skeptic, I'm going, this lady needs her photo taken. So, well, I'm actually in the photo. So the person taking the photo, I don't remember who it was, that's how far she was walking backwards and forwards because she was healed. What's the next one? That was Imelda. This lady was beautiful. She was 99 in June. I know. Amazing, hey? She had locked hips and legs. She could hardly move. I mean, 99, like... So we prayed for her a few times. That was her family there. They were just laughing. They thought it was hilarious. We were praying for her. And in the end, she was doing that's her dancing for us. She was doing the cha-cha because all of a sudden her hips that had been locked up and she could hardly move, she was doing the whole sway thing. Wow, that's amazing. So bless her. She was really fun. And then there's another photo. I think it's Cynthia. Oh, yeah. Cynthia, we went to her barangay and she, while we were talking to her, her eye was twitching so much while we were just talking to her, and it wouldn't stop. It's involuntary twitching, and it wouldn't stop. And I stood back and watched the team do this one because it was so fun. And they prayed for her I don't know how many times, and I followed her around afterwards because I'm like, I'm making sure this is real because, you know, skeptic, right? So I walked and I followed. Like half an hour later, I go back and take this photo. She's still there smiling from ear to ear, and her face was not moving at all. Completely healed. This twitching that was, you know, so often in her side of her face had stopped completely. So that's healing, right? Okay, we can take those down. Thanks, Justin. Another guy, this is my last story. He was so deaf. Our translator was yelling into his ear. He was so deaf. And I'm just going, you know, let's just pray a blessing on him. Like, you can't even hear. You don't even know. So we prayed for his hearing, of course. Why wouldn't you? And in the end, she turned around, the translator turned around and was speaking to him face to face. She wasn't yelling anymore because he could hear. You know, it has to be healing because you can't make that stuff up, right? It has to be healing. And I believe God wants to do that same healing for us, but we've just got to start believing that it's possible, right? That's it. Okay, let's get to a Bible reading because let's just swerve a little bit to the side. Let's look at Luke 14. I've got it up on the screen. Yep. Luke 14. It's on your sheets too if you want to follow along. The Bible tells us that God has invited us to a party. And Luke 14 starts at verse 16. It says, a very powerful and generous man prepared a great banquet and invited many prominent guests. When it was ready, he sent his servant to go and tell those to come, for everything's ready. But they, those that were invited, they all began to make excuses. Surely not. The first said, I bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just acquired 5 pair of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married so I can't come. When the servant reported this, the owner of the estate became very angry and told his servant, go quickly into the streets and alleys of our city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame as my guests. The servant said, Master, we've already done this and there's still more room in your banquet. And the master said, then go now, go out of our city to the roads and the country lane, go everywhere and invite everyone to come so that my house will be full. And I promise you this, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them. Now, what we need to hear from that is God invited us to a party. It's a big party. It's a very, very big party. It's a big table, a banquet of all banquets. And it's going to last forever and ever in heaven. The table's long. And I put the table up there. I want you to picture the table keeps going all the way over hills, down streets, across the beach. The table keeps going because there are many seats at the table. And there's room for every single person to sit at the table. No one's excluded. Everyone's invited. And it's going to be a celebration that lasts for all eternity. The problem is, people think that they're disqualified from being at the table. They think, I'm not good enough. There's not a seat for me. I can't sit there when, you know, the really religious people are sitting there. I've done too many bad things. I can't even walk into a church building. The roof will fall in. I know you think that. It's not true. Because I'm in so much desperate need of a Saviour just as much as you are. Because my life is just as messed up as yours is. And I still make mistakes just like you do. So don't think anyone's any better than anyone else. We all belong at the table. We're all invited to the table. You have a place at the table. It's here. All we need to do is accept the invitation. The problem is, here's the problem. We get the invitation, we say, yes, we'll come, and then we say to God, I'm too busy. Yeah, God, I like the table. Yes, I'll come to the table, but I've just got to do these things first. You know, why would you buy a field without looking at it first? Has anyone bought any property without looking at it first? You don't do that, do you? You check it out. These days, you go online and at least look at it online, right? You wouldn't be buying a property without checking it out first. So why would you need to not come to the party? Why can't the property wait? You wouldn't buy business assets without checking it out first. Pair of ox, new printing machine, whatever it is. Why would you give up the invitation and miss out because of your work? Is money really more important than your seat at the table? Is a relationship more important than your seat at the table? We've seen many times people have gotten into relationships and it's pulled them away from the table. And people that were so on fire for Jesus because they either didn't wait or they didn't listen to what God said, they walked and their lives are very different to where they were because the table was not as important as a relationship. We got to be careful because we make excuses and we trip ourselves up. And the thing is, the table's here and it's waiting for us. And when the time comes for the party, if we're not ready to be at the table, we're going to miss out. So we can't get complacent. We can't get complacent. So if you're wandering the streets, if you're out in the alleys, if you think you're way out there and you don't belong here, the time is to come. To the table. You can come. You can come. Come home and find what you've been searching for. Accept the invitation. I believe that the banquet that Jesus was talking about in that story is so relevant to us because today we can choose to sit at the table. Do you know, I looked up the word banquet in the dictionary because I thought, oh, why not? Check it out. And I found this interesting definition for banqueter. Have you ever thought of what a banqueter meant? I love it. I'll read it to you. It says, one who lives deliciously. Yes, yes, sign me up. Anyone else want to live deliciously? Yes. Yes. Come on, get a bit more excited about this. I want to live deliciously. What a fun way to live. Deliciously. That's what Jesus wants for us, to have delicious lives. Oh, love it. You can be a bit more excited about that. That's fine. I'll wait. I will wait. Okay. I am so out of order here. This is fun. So if you're wandering the streets, it's time to come home. And everything that we try and make ourselves feel better with, the substances, the relationships, the things, the experiences, whatever, all those things are never, ever going to measure up with being where God wants us to be. They're never, ever going to measure up. We keep trying to fill it up with stuff, and Jesus is just saying, come and sit at my table. Come and find your home. Come and find rest in a relationship with him. The thing is, though, it's a come and go message. He wants us to come. He wants us to find place. He wants us to find home. But when we come and we find it, it's time to go. It's a go message as well, because if I stay here, I'm going to get all stagnant and comfy, and I'm just going to think it's all about me and what I want and what I should have and how I should have it. And before I know it, I'm not really sitting at the table. I'm sitting in my own self-indulgence. So it's a go message. While we're being healed, you don't have to have it all together. While we're being made whole, you don't have to know everything. While we're getting it all together, Jesus is saying we need to go. And that's our job as servants, is we need to go. Go out and find the people and say, there's a place for you. There is a seat for you at the table. It's got your name on it. And it's been waiting for you your whole life. God is in the business of telling people to go. He told Noah to go build an ark. He told Abraham to go to another country. He told Moses to go back to Egypt and get the children of Israel and he would release them. He tells Jacob to go, tells Gideon to go. He tells Isaiah to go, tells David and Paul to go, and so on. The whole Bible is a go message. Go. How do we go? All right, this is on your sheet as well. How do we go? Some more things for you to do. How do we go? Other side. The first one to fill in. We need to go, firstly, to God for help. That's a great start, hey? Go to God. It's a great start, but how often do we not do it first? Sometimes I mess up and go, oh, God, can you help me? He's like, hello, been here the whole time, just waiting for you to ask. You know, Go to God for help. We can't do it on our own, and we need to recognize that. The Bible says in Psalm 34:10, those who go to the Lord for help will have every good thing. That's a great promise. And Psalm 34:22, no one who runs to him loses out. Great promises to have. Stick that somewhere. We go to God, you're not going to lose out. He's got everything you need. We go to God to help in all for help in all the things he's called us to do, because he gives us the power to do it. He doesn't set us up for a fail. He sets us up to work with him to do something for his kingdom. Okay, the second thing we need to do is we need to go together. Do you know how easy it was going to villages in the Philippines with 60 of us, all in blue shirts? 60 people's a good number, right? We'd all go in, we were prayed up, we were fired up, we'd go in teams to visit people, we would have three or four of us together and we would be explaining how the water filters worked and praying for them, or just praying, or doing the kids' ministry. So many ways that we were able to work together in teams. And it was easy. And if you look at some of the drone footage, it had all these blue shirts just all through these whole villages. And we'd find out that there was no one else to pray with, because we prayed for everyone in the whole village. What a blessing that is. Pray for an entire village. Do you know, we watched the typhoon. There's a typhoon warning just before we came back. This massive typhoon sitting off the coast of the Philippines and predicted, especially across where we were the day after we left. And we had a prayer that we prayed every morning, a declaration that we prayed over the Philippines as a group. So 60 of us. Well, there's 44 in our team, and then we had all our translators. So all together, we were about 60 of us. We prayed this prayer of declaration. And one of the lines was something like that nature would not harm the Philippines. And so when we started seeing this weather maps of this prediction of the typhoon coming across the coast, I was like, no. That's not going to happen. We declared it. We believed it. We want God's blessing. We've prayed so many prayers in that area. Why would God allow something to come in and smash them straight after we were there? And you know what? That typhoon just went north. I'm not even sure they got much rain in the Philippines from it. Massive typhoon. It made a lot of damage in other places, but Philippines didn't get any. Oh, hallelujah, that's right. Hallelujah. God cares. God cares about what we pray for. And we're doing it together. We can accomplish more together than we ever could on our own. Philippians 1:27 says, I know that you stand together with the same purpose and that you work together like a team to help others believe the good news. Oh, it's so much easier to go as a team. You know, say to someone, come with me. I'm going to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. Come with me. Come out for coffee. Come and do this together. Or at least be praying for each other while someone does it. So you're together doing it. We need to be together. The third one is we need to grow to maturity. Oh, I don't like, who likes growing to maturity? You're either not listening or you're totally agreeing with me. It's hard work. It's hard work. The sad thing is we don't like it because it's painful, right? It's painful growing. I don't know if you remember when you're little, when your kids were little, they have growing pains in the nighttime and they'd wake up crying, oh, my legs hurt. And a lot of our kids had these pains in their legs in the nighttime. We'd be like, oh, they're just growing pains. Oh, you know, get back to bed. Good luck. You know, so we'll give them some medicine. It's okay. But it's painful and it hurts. And it's like that on our journey. Sometimes we start growing and it hurts because we've got to not say something when we really want to. Or we've got to give something and we really don't want to. And we've got to do something and we really don't want to. And that's the growing pains of maturity. Because in 5 years down the road, if we can do the maturity thing well and grow, we'll be a different person. Completely different person. It's uncomfortable growing up spiritually. It's painful having your faith stretched. It's scary learning to trust God in every area. It's really scary learning to trust God with your finances. That stepping out is scary, I agree. But once you do it, whoa. You know what? God can have my finances, you know? It's His stuff anyway. What do we lack? What do I lack? People are afraid to trust God with their time. And when we're too scared or too stubborn to go through the growing pains, we don't grow. And we end up living a very shallow spiritual life. And then we get frustrated with ourselves and we get frustrated with God because He's not speaking to us. He's not showing us stuff. And He's saying, I need you to grow. I need you to press in. Lastly, number four, we need to go and tell the good news. We need to go and tell the good news. Now, if that means a mission trip, by all means, jump on one and go and do it. You know, we would love to help you fundraise. I mean, I'm so blessed that, you know, so blessed to have been able to go again and to go to the Philippines. It was somewhere I'd never dreamed of going before, but I loved it. Really loved it. Loved, they're just beautiful people, such beautiful people. And they need Jesus. Just like every other country in the world needs Jesus. Such a blessing. But we also can be missionaries in our own area. Yeah, you can be missionaries. I know it's uncomfortable sometimes to go into a non-Christian setting, but maybe that's what the missionary work is that you're called to do. To go in and be the shining light to a world that's so dark and so lost and so confused. And we need to say, there's a place for you at the table. There's a place for you at the table. So if we are servants of God, if we are children of God, then it's our job description to do that. He said, Jesus said, then go out. Go out. Go out. Let's have a look at that Bible verse again. Let's see if I can find it on our sheet. And I've put them in capitals, Luke 14. So I want you just to circle it if you can find it. The first one to circle is go and tell. Can you find the capitalization in it? Go and tell. That's the first one. The next one is go quickly. It's a couple of paragraphs down. Go quickly. The next one is bring in. And then the next paragraph down we have, go out of our city. The the next lot is go everywhere. And then the sixth one is invite everyone to come. Those six things, go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out of the city, go everywhere, invite everyone. That's our job. That's our mandate. We need to go and tell the good news. But we're not going to do that on our own power. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be given my power and you are to go to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we start in our community, we move out into our local area, and then we go to the ends of the earth. Now, you don't physically have to do that. I know some of you are not keen to ever get on a plane, but you can still invest around the world in many different ways. There's lots of opportunities to do that. And that verse says, God's Spirit will come on you and you'll get power. And the result is that you'll go. And I want you to hear this. The proof of an infilling of the Holy Spirit isn't signs and wonders, is that you'll go. Okay, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll go. That's proof that you're filled with the Spirit, that you'll go. So we're not chasing signs and wonders. We're chasing the obedience that will go. That's how we'll know. Are we going? Are we telling everyone the good news? And there's a lot of stuff that we can be spending the rest of our life doing. There's a lot of good stuff that we can be spending the rest of our life doing. But is it what God wants us to be doing? Is it His best plan for us? Is anyone going to be in heaven because of me? The greatest legacy is having someone come up to us in heaven and saying, I'm here because of you. What a great legacy. What a great legacy. So today I invite you to come. If you need to come to Jesus today, if you need to accept your invitation to your place at the table, if you need to come for forgiveness or healing, restoration, to the stressed, to the hurting, to the confused, to the lost, to the broken, to the frustrated, to the guilty, to the depressed, Jesus says, come. Come. I invite you to come to the table to sit and to pray. That's your invitation, is to come. You may want to come on someone's behalf and pray for them. Pray that they'll come and sit at the table. It might be a family member, it might be a friend, it might be a co-worker. Say, Jesus, I just want to pray for my friend that they'll be at this table. They'll receive, that they will live a life lavished on at the table. I invite you to do that. I invite you to do that. I might get the band to come up, if that's okay. I might sing. If you want to sing, you can do that. I really feel that God wants to, or God is speaking to us today. But I really think it's important that we bring people before Him. So if you want to come and sit and pray for someone, you're welcome to. You're welcome to do that. You're welcome to come for yourself. Jesus, we just want to thank you that you've made the way for us to be able to sit at the table. You've made the opportunity available to us. You've made the path clear for us. And today we want to take up that offer. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll not only work in us, but you'll work in every person that's on our heart right now. Lord, we intercede for them. We intercede for their souls, for your kingdom. We pray, Jesus, that you'll invade their life, that they will see you in all your glory and your incredible love for them. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and minister to us now. Pray in Jesus' name.